What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He takes the snap, drops back, screen left, caught. Lazard makes a man miss at the five, looking for the pylon, reaches it out. He's in. That's a jet touchdown. Alan Lazard runs over, hands the ball to his old Green Bay teammate, Aaron Rodgers.
That's how we start the Friday edition of Sean and RJ. It is a Football Friday here on DFW Sports Station, your home of the Cowboys, with Mike McCarthy live at 6:30. I'm Sean Sharif alongside RJ Choppy. Bobby Belt out with strep. So that kiss goodbye you guys had yesterday in Carrollton may come back to haunt you.
It really might. It really might come back to haunt me because I was so glad to find out when he sent us a text saying that he has strep throat. That I was sitting right next to him, and he leans over an awful lot during a show, takes his headphones off, leans over, whispers. So there's no doubt droplets. You know, we were talking about droplets for a long time in this country, Sean, you know, with the COVID. We talked about droplets. They're all getting on me, and now there's no doubt for my big weekend, Peyton's big weekend, that I'm going to have nothing but strep throat.
Oh. Yeah, he said that one of his daughters had it. And he was looking lethargic and dead in the final hour of the show. I just thought that it was his usual demeanor of pouting or being grouchy or being tired or not having any questions for David Faherty. Or worried about showing Henrik Stenson his golf swing. But no, it turns out after he woke up from the nap, the throat was burning him up, and he is out for today.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's nothing worse than that. You wake up and you got the scratchy throat and a dry throat, and it just hurts to swallow. And now you got to go to the doc.
Happy birthday to RJ Choppy and Peyton Russell. The double B days on Sean and RJ. Big number 45.
Big number 45 for me. And Peyton, what are you, 29, 28?
28. Oh, 2 years away from 30, man.
I did some research because I was like, you know what? I saw a lot of people have birthdays yesterday. And then I know Peyton and I, obviously, today. And I know a lot of people on the and I looked. And if you go to the top 10 birthdays, 9 of them are between September 9th and the 22nd. 9 of the top 10 birthdays are in that, and that's because everybody gets you get loopy on New Year's Eve 9 months later, or it's you're snowed in 9 months later.
I was wondering what that was.
Has to be, right? It's got to be.
What could have led to all that excitement?
Or the Cowboys, Bobby will say the Cowboys making it to their last Super Bowl, you know, was my reason. That was, you know, early January. But it's also Trayvon Diggs' birthday as well.
Okay.
Today.
Wow.
You weird for that. Happy birthday, Diggs. So what is your big weekend?
Dinner tonight. And then tomorrow we are going to go watch the Tennessee game. Tennessee and Oklahoma.
Oh, you got tickets.
No. We're not getting. No. Well, I tried to get tickets to the game. I had a guy that was going to sell me his, but he's going to go. I was, you know, he wasn't sure if his family member was going to pass away. And if his family member, I said, look, if your family member dies, I'll take him.
Yeah.
So sad to say that his family member's still alive.
I know. That's how I got into Rayo's.
Yeah. There was a death.
Chef Dino is like, someone had to go to a funeral. I was like, yes.
All right.
Heck yeah.
So, we're just going to go. We'll go somewhere in like this Grapevine, Colleyville, South Lake area. And
was
watch
this
the game.
Supposed to be the ticket hookup from Babe Laufenberg?
No, that's for Alabama. That's for the Alabama game. Now it is game day is there, and that's Babe's ticket hookup is College Game Day. But I didn't ask for the OU tickets. I didn't ask for that one. But no, we're just gonna stick in town and go watch the game.
Pepe, birthday plans.
I will be out. At Legacy West tonight for dinner plans over there, Plano, Frisco area. I got one of two options here. I have reservations at both, but it all just depends on what I'm feeling, you know, when the mood's right. What first one is Mexican Sugar.
That's good.
Never been to either one of these places, but I've heard great things about Mexican Sugar. The only thing is they said, we can get you in at 7:45. That's the earliest.
Oh, it's not bad.
Yeah, I was like 8 o'clock dinner. Okay, you know, but it's for the birthday, you know, it's fine. And then North Italia. Right across the street from there, Italian place.
Also very solid.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never played. You've been there? It's that good. I've never been there.
Yeah, it's good. I think they have one by the American Airlines Center, or they did.
How will it compare? to Olive Garden for Peyton.
I better be blown away. Olive Garden better not take number one here.
So how are you going to make the decision?
After waking from my nap. So the North Italia reservation is at 6:30. So I have to make it a little sooner decision there. But I'm leaning North Italia. It's been a while since I've had a good Italian place.
I think it has to depend, right? 6:30 dinner. You got to be prepared to do the drinks after. 7:45 dinner, you can go somewhere around there at 6 and pregame beforehand. So you have the energy to stay out later afterwards, of course, driving back home all the way to Rockwall, or you ready for the afternoon drive time traffic at 6 to pregame dinner, then back home.
Yeah, and Legacy West, a lot of place to drink around there. So I think we'll do the drinks after, though, because, I'm really leaning towards North Italia here.
It's good. It's solid.
Can you not get something with Alfredo sauce, though? I know you're an Alfredo guy.
But I have tomorrow off. I get sleep in. So if anything, any stomach issues, I got all day tomorrow. So I'm fine. But I don't know. Chicken Alfredo sounds good.
All right. So happy birthday to the fellas. Mike McCarthy will join us live at 6:30. We start with Thursday Night Football dominance for Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets 24-3 over New England. Man. New England was hapless.
Hapless. Hapless in this game.
Awful to watch.
It was a very difficult watch. This was I didn't bet it. I should have. I didn't trust. I don't trust the Jets. And you know what? What really stood out is the crowd doesn't trust the Jets either. That was not a loud crowd. I did not think.
I tuned it out. I tried to tune it out after watching Fireman Ed in the beginning. I can't stand that guy now. I didn't realize how much of an attention whore he was. Yeah. I knew he was an attention whore, but he literally doesn't want anyone to cheer. And he does it over and over and over again. I had heard them mention after a Mark Sanchez game, he's like, I'm done. I'm out. I'm not coming back. And I was like, you never should have come back. You know, Fireman Ed getting the Jets crowd hyped up as Aaron Rodgers throws for 280 yards and 2 touchdowns. Watching Rodgers play, does it make you think, okay, he can bounce back with an elite season, just a good enough season at the Jets in the playoffs? And how are you thinking about New York as a playoff team? Because now it looks like a 2-horse race in the AFC East with undefeated Buffalo and the Jets at 2-1.
Yep.
Miami without Tua, and no one but Bobby was trying to believe in the Patriots.
Nope. If Tua was healthy, you can make a case that it's a 3-horse race, but he won't be back for five more weeks. So it's a 2-horse race. I think they're clearly a playoff team right now, even though the AFC is very, very difficult. They're clearly a playoff team. And he looks good. I mean, he doesn't look elite. He's not an elite player.
Yeah.
But he looks very, very good. And he's so smart.
I think our prediction, our collective show prediction for them feels right. Like 10-7, something like that. We all had them as a wild card team to get in, or a playoff team. I'm not feeling anything more than that right now.
No, I don't think they're going to. I don't put them in the Super Bowl contender category. But I mean, look, that was, and I know New England's a terrible team. That was a good defensive effort.
Yeah.
I mean, you hold a team in the NFL to 3 points. That's a good defensive effort. And then offensively, they do enough. And they got 2 really good running backs. Allen and Hall are tremendous.
Breece Hall's a beast.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Where did he come from?
Breece, was he Louisville?
Iowa State, I thought.
Iowa State. Iowa State. And then Allen was at, Wisconsin or something.
He was drafted in the second round. Breece Hall was. He is a beast. So the Jets get a very nice win to kick off week 3 of the National Football League. It sounds like everything is going to be fine with CeeDee Lamb and Trayvon Diggs. Jake Ferguson returning as well for the Ravens. Mazi Smith a bigger concern. And I know you may laugh when I say Mazi Smith a big concern if he doesn't play, but you do have a defensive tackle disaster right now with your football team. You just need bodies at the very least to go up against Derrick Henry and Lamar.
Yeah, if we were scared, in the middle of that last week's game against the Saints with Alvin going to the edge, we should be petrified of Derrick Henry going up the middle. Because I don't think there was a play that I can remember where the Cowboys defensive front didn't get pushed back. That was bad. That was a bad showing.
What did you think of Kumar Rocker's second start and maybe the greatest night in baseball history We have to try to put it into words with the greatness and the legend of Shohei Ohtani. All that followed by Mike McCarthy, 6 a.m. Club, live and strong. Glad you're waking up with us on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On a 1-2, Ohtani sends it in the air. The other way. Back it goes. Gone! One-of-a-kind player. One-of-a-kind season. Shohei Ohtani starts the 50-50 club.
Great call on Dodgers TV. I believe that is Joe Davis, who does the national games with John Smoltz. This is your home of the Rangers. Also your home of Mike McCarthy every Friday at 6:30 as we get ready for the monster matchup against the Baltimore Ravens here on Sean and RJ. Thank you all for being Tolos. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. We're going to get to the second start for Kumar Rocker, but I think it's overshadowed by maybe the greatest night in baseball history from an individual performance. Shohei Ohtani with 6 hits, 10 runs batted in, 3 home runs, 2 stolen bases, all while joining the 50-50 club, the first ever player to do it.
He's the best. And 4 runs scored. It's just an insane night. Like, maybe the best night you've ever seen. What a way, and not only just the night, but also that, like, to do it as you go into the 50-50 club. It'd be like, you know, Bonds breaking McGuire's record on a night where he hits 3 home runs and goes 6 for 6. Like, right? It's just a crazy night, and it's just underscores how awesome this dude really is. And I don't know if he's like a I really don't think, like, because he's not like this super beloved player because nobody knows him.
Yeah.
Nobody knows anything about him. He's so secretive.
Bobby hates him and his dog.
But, you know, could you imagine, like, and this guy's not, he's not even pitching this year. Could you imagine if Patrick Mahomes also played linebacker at a really high level?
Well, I was trying to put this into context because that's what everyone is going to do today. That's what you have to do in terms of greatest player, greatest season. What is he? This is everything that we thought Bo Jackson could be, and maybe even a little bit more. I don't know. I don't know how much to even add or subtract from Bo, but 2 different sports. Now, if you want to keep it within the same sport, we've never had something. This is what Travis Hunter, I guess, is trying to do.
Trying to, yeah.
But he's having this season without pitching.
I know.
He's having this season without pay. Imagine if he had 15 or 16 wins on top of it.
His WAR would be through the roof. I mean, it already is.
What is it?
His WAR is 7.3. Now, that's good. I mean, it's not like, you know, we've seen. I mean, Trout's routinely been in the 10s and 11s. I think he got 12 one year. Judge is at 10 right now for this year. I think Bobby Witt is going to be at 10 for this year. So Shohei gets dinged because he doesn't play any position. He doesn't play the field. So Witt and Judge, they play, you know, center and short. So they're going to get a boost beyond their offensive numbers.
Obviously, Babe Ruth is there, but and I usually don't like MVP because of the word value, and people don't just say, is he having the best season? Oh, no, does he have the best value to his team? If he was missing these games, what would they actually be? Is Tua going to be, if the Dolphins started off 2-0 and he got hurt and he came back and they were 2-6, is he the most valuable?
Yeah, right.
I hate that usually, but I think it applies here. I mean, I think it's easy to say that Shohei Ohtani is the most valuable baseball player of our lifetimes.
Well, yeah, especially when you factor in the pitching. Because if he's not, now if he never pitches again,
you have to factor in the pitching. I'm not saying best because I don't know him one at bat if I'm taking him over Bonds, but the most valuable baseball player of all time with the mound.
It might not be
close.
And the contract kind of shows that. I mean, he got $70 million a year. So, absolutely.
I'm glad he put up this stat line in the night in which he reached the 50-50.
Yeah, I am too. I think it makes it so much more special. If he never pitches again, then, you know, is he as valuable as Bobby Jr. or Aaron Judge or Betts? You know, probably not because, you know, they offer something in the field. But he does pitch, and he will pitch again, and we don't know what he's going to be. He might be a closer. If I'm the Dodgers, I mean, are you going to spend that kind of money on him to close? You know, probably not, but you also want to save his arm.
And the freak speed.
Dude,
you don't think about looking at him as a monster.
No, you don't. You don't think about that because he's huge. He's like 6'4", 6'5". You know, would he have stolen all these bases if they didn't increase the bag size? Because that did bring steals back into play. You know, who knows? That's not something you can ever figure out. There's no way to quantify that. This is an awesome night. It's an awesome player. And it's one of the best seasons of all time. Like, the shame is that he might be having the third best season in the sport. That's how great, because he might be having the third best this year. He might be having the third best year this year.
Behind Judge
and Witt.
And Witt.
I have to go look at someone, because, you know, Witt's got 30 homers. And he's going to wind up winning the batting title, and he's got a huge war. And the Judge is hitting 320, and he's got 50-something bombs, and his OPS plus is like 40 points higher. This is an awesome year from an offensive standpoint for those three guys.
Got to maybe weigh the stolen bases versus what those guys are in the field. Like Judge playing center versus the 50 stolen bases that Ohtani can bring you.
And Bobby's got... Bobby Jr. has, let's see here, he's got 30 steals.
Okay. Night number two, start number two on this radio station for the Stud.
1-2. Swing and a miss. Fastball upstairs. He gets the chase from Schneider. That's the fourth strikeout for Rocker. No balls, two strikes, the pitch. Strike three called. Backdoor slider that clips the corner. So Rocker gets Lo Perfetto watching.
Kumar Rocker wasn't as sharp in his second outing for the Rangers. What did you see?
I saw a lot of the same of the first start, except less impressive. Like, he still struck out 5 3 innings, right? So his strikeout-to-walk ratio is very, very good, and that's one of the major things that it's a point of emphasis on in the game today. Yeah, they care less about ERA, more about certain other things. I think his biggest issue was, you know, same kind of way in his first start. He just throws too many dang pitches. And that is going to be very, very difficult for him to progress because it's inefficient right now. And, you know, again, that's the game today, right? I remember when Bassett came in the league, or Ryan Dreesen always tell me this. If I gave up 0 or 1 runs through 5 innings, the veterans would be like, yeah, thanks for killing our bullpen for the day, man. And that's just not the way it is today.
He had never issued more than 2 walks in a game in his pro career, issued 5 free base runners, 4 walks and a hit batter against Toronto in a 4-0 loss to the Blue Jays. Much more on the two baseball stories as we continue here with the Friday edition of Sean and RJ. Joining us next, how did they recover from the Saints game, and how do we get ready for the monster matchup against Baltimore? Mike McCarthy joins us live on Sean and RJ next. It is now time for the Mike McCarthy Show here on Sean and RJ. Bobby is out with strep. It's brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. And I think Peyton just committed a birthday faux pas.
Man.
I saw him smile back there as he was getting coached on the line. And I was like, what, did Mike maybe hear that it was your birthday? He goes, yeah, I told him.
Oh, you can't tell. Hey, it's my birthday today.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, how does that conversation go? What did he say back, Peyton? What did he say to you when you said, and what did you say? Hey, coach, it's my birthday?
No, I was just giving him a little PR heads up that it's RJ's birthday. I didn't say it was my birthday. No one cares about my birthday. They care about RJ's birthday.
And what did he say back to you? Oh, yeah?
He said, well, I'm going to give him a big happy birthday wish.
All right, let's bring in the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning. Happy birthday. Hell, I couldn't sleep last night. You know, just thinking about all the things I was going to say this morning.
Oh, thank you, Coach. That means so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So what are you doing today for your birthday?
Dinner, and then I hope that my Tennessee Volunteers get a big win tomorrow. That would be the good birthday there, and then the Cowboys on Sunday, you guys get a win.
Yeah, there you go. Nice. Where are you going to dinner?
This place called the Lost Colony in Highland Village. I don't know if you know where that is. I've never been there.
Well, cool. Well, it sounds like a heck of a spot.
And Peyton's got a big decision between Mexican or Italian, Coach. Which one would you lean towards?
Oh, shoot. I think they're both great. I think it's a matter of which you had last. So
If
you had Mexican last, I go Italian. Or flip it. No, you can't go wrong with Mexican or Italian.
So, Coach, we were just having this discussion about Shohei Ohtani for the Dodgers. And he had like an incredible night last night, 6-for-6, 10 RBIs, 3 home runs, 2 stolen bases, just an insane night. Is there a night from a player that you were there for coaching with or against that just stands out to you as like, oh, my, that was like the most special night I've ever seen?
On the field?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, you know, I've seen some unbelievable games, you know, by Aaron Rodgers, you know, this, you know, 5-6 touchdown type games. But, nothing jumps to mind as far as the opponent, you know. But, I'm sorry, but that what he's doing is off the charts. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's the year that he's having.
50-50.
Yeah.
50-50, yeah.
50-50, yeah. First baseman.
Unheard of.
Yes. Hey, Coach, obviously, the Ravens are coming in here desperate at 0-2. What struggles have you seen from them on tape that has them winless so far?
Well, I just think it's they didn't finish the game against the Raiders. You know, obviously they, you know, if you just look at the last three series of the games, you know, the game against the Raiders, you know, the 3-3 and outs, and then the Raiders went down and scored 3 times. So this is an excellent football team. I mean, it's still the team that was competing to go to the Super Bowl last year. So, and I think it's also the reality of September football. You know, and I understand the records, but you know, we're preparing for the team that's been on tape. You know, as far as the first 2 weeks, but also, you know, we spent a bunch of time on particularly their players. You know, last year obviously they've had a lot of change in their coaching staff, but you're talking about a system and a profile and a program that's been in place for decades.
Yeah.
So that's what we're really focused on as far as getting ready to go win this game.
You know, watching them and seeing Lamar and all that he, you know, all the problems he presents, is he probably the most difficult guy to game plan against just because you don't know what he's going to do on any given play?
Absolutely. I think when you got a impact player, you know, like Lamar is, you know, that has the ball in his hands every single play and, you know, and has the diversity, you know, starting with just the time clock of their plays, you know, because, I mean, there's obviously when you design a play, there's a time clock to it. But his off tempo and extended time clock is probably going to be the biggest challenge we see all year. So his ability to extend plays and then, you know, unfortunately for us, is when he pulls the ball down and runs, he is a dynamic runner too. So, and you know, he still has the ability to stay on the move and make the 50, 60-yard throws. So this is a big challenge for our defense.
Coach, do you remember what you thought about him coming out of Louisville? And what's your core philosophy on changing a guy too much? You know, the big Lamar discussion has always been, all right, or Mike Vick even, try to have him run less to preserve him, you know, become better as a pocket passer? Or are you just taken away from what makes that player truly special and unique? Like, what's your philosophy on the dual impact guy and maybe trying to save some of the wear and tear?
Well, I mean, I remember the draft because, you know, that was the draft class of, you know, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, and Sam Darnold and that bunch. And, you know, the conversation that Ted Thompson and I had was, and I forget where we were picking that year, but, you know, he was what we labeled as the, you know, the X factor in that group. Because, you know, at Louisville, he played for Bobby Petrino. You know, Bobby ran a pro-style offense. So there was, you know, a lot of drop back on tape to evaluate. Now, you know, we weren't, you know, looking to take a quarterback, but, you know, it was definitely a discussion of, you know, if he was down there when we picked it, it was, you know, definitely a conversation you needed to have. But just extremely dynamic, you know, with the ball in his hand. But there definitely was enough, you know, drop back there that you could say, hey, this guy can also win from the pocket.
Do you remember who you guys picked at 18?
I do not.
Jair Alexander.
Ooh.
There you go.
Good pick. Very good pick.
Derwin James, Jair, Van Der Esch. Nice little cluster right there.
That's a good set right there. Coach, philosophically, you know, because you got to spy on him, right? You're going to have so basically it becomes 11 on 10. Philosophically, do you like using your best player to spy on him? Or, like, how do you do that? How do you decide who to use?
Well, that's why you game plan. So, you know, I think with anything, you know, these are things that you put in place, you know, during the off season and as far as training camp and train. I think, you know, when the schedule, you know, you're playing the AFC North and the schedule came out and we knew we were going to play these teams early. So, I mean, these are things that, you know, we have, you know, built into our base package. You know, it's, you know, Deshaun Watson's obviously is a very active quarterback. So, I mean, these are the kind of things that we can hopefully build off of, you know, schemes and calls that we have in place, but you're definitely have to adjust and give him different looks because, like I said, he's extremely dynamic.
How's he developed as a thrower, Coach? Because a lot of people say, all right, he can run during the regular season. The Ravens are always going to be 11-12 wins, but it's going to take him throwing more efficiently in the postseason to advance. How have you seen Lamar develop as a thrower over the years?
Well, I think the new offensive change has been good for him because I think it's, you know, it's given him more, you know, opportunity as far as, you know, schematically from the pocket, you know, where I would have viewed their, you know, their offense before more run first, throw second. But I do think they have more balance if you watch them last year and this year. So, you know, I think Todd Monken has done a really nice job with them.
Mike McCarthy here with Sean and RJ on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Coach, right now with your football team, is the bigger focus or bigger concern on your run defense or your own run game?
Oh, I think it's, you know, really farm your own land, you know, clean your own house mentality. You can go through everything. I mean, we're not, you know, it's we know where we are and continue to work on them. But yeah, definitely we're focused on both those this week as far as, you know, primary energy distribution as far as, you know, things we didn't practice. And, you know, you only have so much time each day on the field. And but those will be priorities throughout the year. I mean, your run defense and run offense has to continue to grow. You know, it never stays the same in this league.
Coach, we saw New Orleans get out on the perimeter last week. Is it the opposite with the Ravens when they do hand off with Henry? Are you just anticipating more of a between-the-tackles battle with their run game when they do hand off?
Well, I think the big key with Derek, you know, I mean, just watch him throughout his career is, you know, his ability to get going, for, you know, if he is on the, you know, the outside zone, that's when he's most dangerous. But, you know, so how they get to the perimeter and really, you know, coming off the outside zone or the pattern, you know, gap schemes where the ball has a chance to bounce. But, you know, it's a different run game. Clearly, the body types up front are different. So, I mean, they're going to come in. They're going to play their game, and you know, there's just a lot of things that they schematically and conceptually have always done. You know, they get on the goal line. They're going to run power, and so those are the things we're really locked into.
Coach, are you guys expecting to add Dalvin Cook to your attack on Sunday?
Well, I mean, good shot. I mean, you know, he did a nice job. I mean, I don't recall ever talking about who's going to play on Sunday.
Okay.
On the show.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to give
it's a birthday. It's a birthday present.
I'm just clouded with RJ's birthday plans.
Not Peyton's.
Not Peyton's, right?
I just can't believe I'm going to know why I didn't get invited to dinner. That's
my gosh. There you go. You want to come? Come on to dinner. Let's go.
Not too late. I already got plans.
You would have been picking up the check anyway. Trust me.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's 100% true. No doubt. Mike McCarthy, Jonas here, 105 through the Fan. Okay, the trend around the league, first couple of weeks, you know, points are down a little bit. And I know it's early. It's basically first couple of games of the year now have become extended preseason. But has running the ball become cool again?
Has it become cool?
Yeah, like, you know, it's a new thing. You know, we love the passing game. Passing was all the rage, and now it seems like running the ball is the thing to do again.
Well, I think it's like anything. You're trying to establish things, and you know, at this time of year with your team, and then you know, off of the run game comes half of your passing game, especially you know, in the majority of your passing game in the first and second down. So, you know, I look at the touchdowns being down, and you know, I could just only go off of our experience. You know, you have certain opportunities to take the shots at the end zone, and you know when you hit them, that's when you're scoring the touchdowns and your numbers are up. You know, we haven't hit ours in the first 2 weeks.
Coach, Mel Kiper Jr. said on ESPN yesterday that the NFL should outlaw the two high safeties because it's killing the downfield passing attack. First of all, would you support that? Second of all, is that really a major reason why downfield passing is just not what it was maybe, you know, a handful of years ago?
No, I don't believe that at all. I mean, the Steelers defense of the 70s played cover two, you know, and no, I think it's just like anything. Our league's about trends and always has been. And, you know, and whether it's more too high or too shell with the quarters or too high with the, you know, deeper cover two concepts and, you know, a one high, whether it's man or the match concepts that's popular now. I think it's, you know, it's plus there's only been two games. I mean, we're in week three and we're going to make this comments like that. Yeah, I don't agree with that.
Coach, is Mozzie the biggest injury concern that you guys are trying to address before Sunday compared with Ferg and Lamb and Diggs, which you seem to say a couple of days ago wasn't a major concern? Is Mozzie the one at the top of y'all's list?
No, I think just really how they all come in today. I you know, everything was moving forward yesterday when we left here last night. So, you know, I'm very hopeful that they're all going to play. You know, this is a key day. You know, just the way this is set up. You know, yesterday was a rough practice, and you know, it was pads, and you know, we went inside because of the heat. So you know, we really got after it yesterday. So we'll see how the guys come in today.
Well, try to catch up on some sleep that you lost last night. Waiting for the birthday invites. Apologies from the two guys, and best of luck this weekend.
All right, man. You guys have a great weekend.
You too, Coach Mike McCarthy. That was Pepe.
Uh-oh.
I think Pepe cut him off right there.
Peyton.
Did not like that he was asking where RJ was going and talking about the choppy plans over his. Mike McCarthy brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. Is it any coincidence, even after coming off that type of loss against the Saints, that amount of personality was there today with just us two in here?
No coincidence at all.
Zip zero.
There.
I had to mention, it was more important to mention Bobby Auerstrep than both of your birthdays.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Strategic.
We're just going to have to, when Mike comes on, just have Bobby kindly leave the room.
Bassicket.
Yep.
Dude, they interviewed, they had a Ravens insider on from BaltimoreRavens.com, and I heard Bassick at the end finally come in to tease Baseball Nuggets, and I was like, I had no idea Bassick was even working yesterday. I thought he was just doing the rocker again.
Yeah.
I had no clue. He just pops in at the very end. Now, I know he does it for Mickey. A lot of times he does it for Steven, but just no interviews? And he can ask some, you know, thoughtful questions sometimes. Yeah. I texted Mike before, and I'm like, hey, that was a good question. But Pepe, did he have any response towards you with the insults he threw your way? And you're like, Mike, why are you even talking? You're not even on your own show half the time.
No, you know, because he doesn't listen anyway. So, you know, like, he has no
idea. Well, he does listen.
He will.
At 6:40 yesterday, I don't know. I don't know. He's been checking out a little early, you know, in recent weeks here. But no insults my way. I'm passing the message along to Alec. Because, man, Alec got a lot of hate on the fan text when we were doing the payload yesterday.
Really?
Because he threw that subtle jab, and I said, well, and he's like, what? I didn't say anything to you. I was like, Alec, you did. You know, you pop your mic on, you say a little 1-2 second punchlines here and there. You know, it catches up after a while.
All right, let's actually play Mel Kiper's suggestion, because when I first heard this, I thought about the shift in baseball. Is this the same thing, Kiper, with the suggestion of banning too high safeties in the NFL?
Well, I grew up with the best of the National Football League, 60s, 70s, into the 80s. You're talking about deep shots, right? The go route, the nine route post. You're talking about Terry Bradshaw in a Super Bowl hitting John Stallworth. You see Leroy Irvin diving, right? Just off his fingertips. There's the receiver. They laid it out there, right? Hit the receiver in stride. 65-yard touchdown. It's a beautiful thing to watch. That's what I want to see brought back to the National Football League. Okay? Check down kings, bubble screen sensations, boring football. Uh-uh. Game manager, I get it, but I want to see those deep shots. That's what the NFL was built on. I grew up with John Unitas, Fran Tarkington, Ken Stabler, Daryl LaMonica. You know, you talk about quarterbacks, Joe Namath. It was just right. Brett Favre when he was doing what he did. Burt Jones with the Baltimore Colts.
All right, we get it.
Think about those quarterbacks who would throw the ball down the field. I said what Bradshaw did with Stallworth and Swan, Roger Staubach. That's what I want to see brought back. Say, well, you can't do that, right? Well, you got a 5-yard rule with the quarterbacks, right? The Mel Blount rule, right? Now with the push thing with Hurts, you got to be a yard back now. So don't tell me you can't have those safeties closer to the line of scrimmage than they are. I was at games where I'm thinking, hey, too high? They're out in outer space. Two, I couldn't even find us. So they're playing with nine guys, right? Where are the other two? Oh, the other two? They're so daggone far back, and even though they're part of damn play.
Mike McCarthy. Shooting down. That suggestion with great emphasis. Orlovsky tweeted these numbers league-wide through the first 2 weeks. 69, Bobby is up listening, by the way, so I have to throw in this Orlovsky stat. He just sent us a nice meme. 69 pass touchdowns, the fewest since 2006. 7.1 average target depth, the lowest on record. 41% design run plays. That's the highest since 08. 32nd time of possessions per play. That's the slowest since 2008. 545 blitzes is the fewest on record. 46% too high safety percentage is also the highest on record. What do you think of Kiper's suggestion? I liked, he did help his argument by throwing in like two other league rules that are changed.
Yeah, I mean, change rules.
You know, trying to give receivers more help at the line of scrimmage by not bumping them within 5 yards. Talked about Jalen Hurts right there, tush-push stuff. What do you think?
I mean, look, baseball did the shift. NBA has legal defense. If you wanted to have a rule where...
Did you like or hate the shift?
I hated the shift. Okay. I thought it was the absolute right thing to do to ban the shift. Because the shift... My issue with the shift is like... It was too penal to just left-handed hitters because you don't shift on righties. I mean, you shift on Albert Pujols because he was, or Miguel Cabrera because they were 45 years old and slow. But I mean, I don't know. Like, if you wanted to make a rule where you had to, you know, those two safeties couldn't be more than 15 yards from the line of scrimmage at the start of the play, as opposed to 25 yards, whatever. We could have a discussion on that one. I'm like, I don't necessarily want to do it. I think the main issue is like maybe quarterback play is just like not where it needs to be. Like, you know, like it's, you've got young guys coming in the league that are just, they want dual threat quarterbacks now. Dual threat quarterbacks, if that read isn't there, I mean, they're almost taught just to run. But, you know, is if too high, and the NFL has always been based off of entertainment, right?
Well, all sports should be.
All sports should be. And the NFL has done a great job of that. And if too high safeties is hurting the entertainment value of the league, then the NFL will take a look at it. If it's not, then they won't.
Well, that's my follow-up question to everyone. Oh, Bassick is listening.
Oh, boy.
Keep that in mind, Peyton Russell. The question for you, then, is listening, has the NFL been more boring to you throughout the first 2 weeks? For me, it has not. Now, I think a lot of that has to do with, number one, it's new. It's the brand new season.
Yeah.
Number two, I'm lost in the red zone. Again, if you're going to get isolated Sunday, Monday, Thursday night games, and we're going to get 13-6 for a number of them for a prolonged period of time, I revisit this discussion and I put more importance on it. I have not been more bored throughout the first 2 weeks. I would throw out an easy guess and say that the ratings are not down.
No, they're not down. I'll tell you that.
It's not down. So I don't think this is something. This would be interesting for KMC to ask Jerry today at 10:30. But I like the creativity here from Mel, because I usually hate just rewarding people for getting out schemed. I hate, okay, your kid in high school is dominating, or this coach has thought of a system that is so ahead of its time that everyone else gets a break by a rule that you put in. No, figure it out. And that's what Ryan Clark said yesterday, Mel Kiper colleague. This discussion about outlawing too high is ridiculous. There are ways to beat it if you have competent quarterback play. Explosive passing games in the NFL are a huge part of the game. That's why you got CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, and they're so valuable. Offenses must now adjust by finding holes in intermediate coverage and regularly running the football. Eventually, that's what will happen, and when it does, defenses will adjust again. That is how sports work. Any talk of creating a rule to outlaw the current defense is nothing but complete and utter nonsense.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to table it for now. I'm going to table this.
Table the discussion. It's too early in the season.
Not flushing it. Right. Table it.
If it continues though, where it's like short passes and 13 play drives, that is going to get old for me. I do like the downfield shots. I really like those. And they're like, to me, they're the most important part of determining. Not the most important. One of the most important parts of determining an elite quarterback is, can you throw the ball downfield over the middle in an obvious passing situation? Like, those are the elites, right? And if those are just taken away because the defenses are doing that, then, you know, maybe have a discussion about it. But don't ban too high. Maybe limit where their starting point would be.
Yeah. Like, you have a referee with a line, or we're going to add that line on the field like we have the kickoff with that zone. You have to be
within,
on or in front of that line.
Yeah.
Or you're lining up illegally.
Exactly. It's just like, you know, you have
illegal defense.
Illegal defense. Offenses can line up illegally. In baseball, you have the shift where you can't be on either side of the bag. You got to be, you know, two on each side of the bag. Now, as soon as the pitch is thrown, I mean, you can sprint the other way if you want to.
A happy birthday edition of RJ Choppy's college football kegger as part of his big number 45 weekend. That's next on 105.3 The Fan.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.